The Darwinian theory is an explanatory framework that accounts for the wealth of flora and fauna, the richness of what Buddhists call sentient beings and plants that effectively constitute the biological world available to us. So far, the theory has avoided disproof and has offered the most coherent scientific understanding of the evolution of the diversity of life on Earth. The theory applies as much to the molecular level, that is, to the adaptation and selection of individual genes, as to the macrocosmic level of large organisms. Despite its remarkable adaptability to all levels on which we might say life flourishes, Darwin's theory does not explicitly address the conceptual question of what life is. This said, there are a number of key characteristics that biology understands to be essential for life, such as organisms being self-sustaining systems and naturally possessing some mechanisms for reproduction. In addition, the key definitions of life include the ability to develop away from chaos and toward order, which is called negative entropy. The Buddhist Abhidharma tradition, by contrast, defines Sok, the Tibetan equivalent for the English term life, as that which supports heat and consciousness. To some extent, the differences are semantic, since what Buddhist thinkers mean by life and living relates entirely to sentient beings and not to plants, while modern biology has a much broader conception of life, taking it all the way down to the cellular level. The Abhidharma definition does not correspond to the biological account, mostly because the underlying motive of Buddhist theory is to answer ethical questions that can be considered only in relation to higher forms of life. Central to Darwin's theory of evolution, as I understand it, is natural selection. But what does this mean? The biological model represents natural selection as random genetic mutation and subsequent competition between organisms leading to the survival of the fittest. Or, more correctly, the differential reproductive success of some organisms versus others. Every trait in an organism is subjected to the constraint of the environment. Those organisms which thrive best within these constraints and in competition with others, and which have the most offspring, are deemed better adapted and thus better equipped to survive. As the most suitable features are continuously selected in a given environment from among the variations produced by random mutations, the species of living beings transform. Natural selection can be seen as explaining which kinds of flies or monkeys can best survive in their chosen environments, and how beings like modern humans evolved from ape-like ancestors. Despite their obvious differences, humans and chimpanzees share 98% of their DNA. A difference of only 2% accounts for the distinction between the two species. The difference between humans and gorillas is 3%. Likewise, on the genetic level, natural selection seems to explain how mutations in genes, which are random but arise naturally, can be selected out and hence create new varieties within living beings. Genetic mutation is also thought to be the engine for evolution at the molecular level, and natural selection is seen as the mechanism that favors the development of neural groups, transmitters, receptors, and so forth, which give rise to the individuality and variability of each brain and, on the level of the species, to the special qualities of human consciousness, for example. Even in relation to the origins of life, natural selection is taken as the key to a process whereby particular molecules capable of replicating themselves arose, perhaps initially by chance, in an organic primeval soup, or possibly as self-replicating inorganic crystals. Indeed, I gather from the Stanford physicist Stephen Chu that his team is currently developing models for understanding life in terms of the laws of physics. According to the current story of the origins of organic life, shortly after the Earth itself came into being, molecules of RNA, ribonucleic acid, themselves highly unstable, came into being and self-replicated without assistance. By natural selection, tougher and more durable molecules, molecules of DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid, the fundamental repository of genetic information, emerged from the RNA. Life came into being in the form of a more sophisticated creature that stored the genetic recipe for its makeup in DNA and made its form from protein. RNA became the link between DNA and protein, since it reads the information stored in DNA and guides the production of proteins. The first organism composed of DNA, RNA, and protein is known as LUCA, the last universal common ancestor, which may have been something like a bacterium living deep in the earth or in warm water. Again, through self-replication and by natural selection, Luca gradually evolved into all beings. I always smile when I hear this name, as Luca is the name of my longtime Italian translator.